2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's it. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's always a special privilege for me to be here. This is a especially confusing time for me, the time that sort of falls between the what we call the Western New Year and the Chinese New Year. I was never quite sure whether I really celebrated the year or not. I belong to a generation, I think all generations are very special. The generation that I belong to is a confused one. I was brought up in a traditional Chinese environment, but walk and work in a modern one. I was brought up speaking Chinese, but have to work and study and live in an environment that speaks English. That itself is not unique, but very few people were sort of just sandwiched like I did. I can't quite speak English without sometimes thinking in Chinese, such as numbers. And I can't quite speak Chinese without adding English words to it to make the words complete. And you might also say that very few Chinese, they know Chinese as much as I do, or still know a lot of English. Or you can put it another way, people that's a little older than me probably couldn't speak English as well as I do, my generation. Their generation, they're a little bit younger than I, than mine, will probably cannot speak Chinese or know China as much as I do. We're sandwiched in between. So today is the fourth day after the new year, the Pig's Day. The Pig's Day is the day that you worship, according to the Chinese culture. You worship, pig is a lucky animal, according to the Chinese. They stay in the home with the people because they provide warmth and they are loved. And pig is a way of showing that you are wealthy. Pig is a very, it doesn't do anything. It just eat and get fat. And for most of its life, it's pretty lucky. By the way, so it's a lucky animal. And the divinity that represented by that is the god that. That's wealthy and lucky. So this fourth day is the day that you worship that god. The fifth day, that's tomorrow, is the day that you bring out the garbage from the first day of the new year to the fourth day. You cannot throw out any garbage. Throw out the garbage is throwing out good fortune and wealth. You can never do that. If you have to sweep your home, you sweep from outside in, not inside out. Because this is very important. On the fifth day, everything's changed. Garbage is garbage. You throw it out. But that you have to wait till tomorrow. I bet most of you don't know that. That's what I meant by that sandwich generation. When I first arrived in the United States, I landed in Ithaca. There's no Chinese stores, no Chinese restaurants, very few Chinese. The biggest problem is that we don't know when the New Year Day is. It's very important. The old calendar, the lunar calendar, is important for us. Many of us, like my wife, her birthday is, she celebrated her lunar birthday with the Western calendar. It's very confusing. And so when we were just arriving in the United States, there's no lunar calendar. Where do you find the lunar calendar? So we don't know when the new year is, right? Ah, but you see, the Chinese are pretty smart. The lunar month is 29 and a half days, right? The solar day, solar month is 30 and a half days. So every year, the lunar year is short by 11 days. This is a big problem. Right? If you wait long enough, like 20 years or so, then then you have to celebrate New Year in summer. Right? Because you lose 11 days every year. So what do you do? How can you keep the lunar calendar? You see, now you have to think a little bit. Every 19 years, the Western calendar is ahead by 209 days. If you divide 209 days into 29.5, actually it's not the exact number, but you divide that, then you see it's almost exactly 7 months of the lunar month. So in the year's time, in the 19-year cycle, you add leap month, they're called. You add 7 months. Then you will make up your loss. So it will be exact, right? So for those of you, if you are 19 years old, if you should ever wonder on what day you were born on the lunar calendar, look at that year when you're 19 years old. That lunar calendar shows you when you were born 19 years ago, this 19-year cycle. So what is this Lunar New Year then? Lunar New Year is celebrated on the first day of a month, right? So the moon must be new. The question is, which new moon? It's very simple. It's the second new moon after the winter solstice. Winter solstice is the shortest day in the year. When you figure out when it's the shortest day, it's usually for around a few days before Christmas, December 21st or thereabouts, within a day or so. So it's the second new moon after December 21st. That's the lunar new year. So even though there's a discrepancy between the length of the 2 years, but the new year always falls sometime between January 17th and February 19th or something like that. It's always between that. And you can always figure this out. So what do we do? What do I do? In this period of time, between the two new years, I usually take about half a day off. I have a little book. I have some writings on it. What do I write on this book? This book has some history. I've written things on it for many years. It's about what I thought, what the last year was like, and what I'm going to do for the new year. It's sort of a new year resolution in a way. It's sort of a new year resolution, an encouragement to myself, a planning that I wish I will be such a person in the year to come. I spend about half a day or so with myself, praying, thinking, and look at this book. That's the title of my talk. The spring of hope, it's always a time where hope springs eternal, and the winter of despair, because I have this little book before me. You never, I presume you're the same way, you don't want to set the goal so low that you can always reach it. But when you set the reasonable goal, you see that in some ways, we always fall short. New Year's resolution is never good. It always shows up that there's a problem in us. It's not that we don't know what needs to be done, what's good. It's not that we don't have sort of inspiration or hope. It's just somehow we couldn't quite do what we think we should be doing. It's not because we don't have the desire, but there is a certain issue concerning power, concerning our ability to do what we think is right. Now, to gauge the health of an individual, so how good am I, and am I a better person than last year, one can look at this whatever book that you might have and see, am I making improvements? Or, this morning, I'll propose to you to look at ourselves in a slightly different way to gauge what we really need, how we might look at ourselves. I propose to think ourselves as individuals, as one unit or a cell in a larger body, the humanity, the society, the world that we're in. A little bit like cells in my body that's composed of me, right? We're made of different cells, different functions. Cells come and go. Cells die, cells live, but I remain me and improving. In order to ask what's the state, what is the health of a particular cell, you can look at that cell. That's one way, but that sometimes is not very accurate. Because if you look at the man that's just dead, he just for that, if you analyze his cell, most of his cell is alive. It seems to be okay. But it's dying, it's dead, right? So I propose to look ourselves this way, cast ourselves in the larger collective man, the composition of all of us throughout the time of history. This man has about 4,000 years or so, very conscientious of itself, trying to do better, trying to work out things, trying to improve. And we see there's a lot of improvements, like most of us. This man gets rich, has more and more possessions, like we do. When I first arrived in Ithaca, I said, I don't know when the new year is because I don't have the stupid calendar. But that's only one of the many things that I don't have. You know, when I just arrived in Ithaca, what don't I have? I don't have a telephone. I don't have all the roommates. There's four of us live together. Three of us live together. We don't have a telephone. It's too expensive and too confusing. Not that we don't know how to use it. We're not that old. Because three of us, one is Zhang Huang, the other one's Zhang Wang, the other one's Zhang Wang. I mean, it's impossible. We're all teaching assistants. The student calls up, may I speak to Zhang Wang? You never figure out which one they want. You think perhaps our middle initials will help? No. I'm Zhang S. Wang. The other one's Zhang S. Wang. The other one's Zhang S. Wang. There's three, actually Chinese characters are different. The middle initial or S. You have to know a second middle initial in order to differentiate. And even that doesn't help too a lot. My is Zhang S. S. Wang Xiaoshi. The other friend that spoke up is Zhang S. S. Wang Xianqing. The third one is Zhang S. P. Wang Su Ping. There's a P there, so he's the only one. In the second initial, you know why we don't need that telephone. It's only confusing. If you want to call us in the lab, you always get the right one there. Don't have televisions. We don't have time. We don't have money. And our English is really not good enough. When we are graduate students, to watch Captain Kangaroo is not really too... Anyway. I don't have a hat because I lost. I don't have a coat because Taiwan's so hot. And I went to school and they have this sort of a sale that you can buy a coat for the price of dry cleaning. In other words, it's a way of that you buy advice. Really, people donate things they don't want anymore. I have no idea about size. So I went there, I looked at a coat and this one looks good. Thick, warm, I'll have that. Pay $3 or $2, whatever the dry drying cost at the time. And I took that coat home. It's a size 44. At that time, my waist is 28. I have to go to the child's department to get that pants. I'm 120 pounds. I went to see a doctor. Said, how come I'm so thin? Can you get me thicker? He threw me out. But anyway, I have the size 44 coat, no hat, and walk in this. I mean, Ithaca can get pretty cold. But while I was walking on that street, no cars, no TV, no telephone, I'm a proud man, let me tell you, I own the whole place. You'll never see any, I'm so poor, I'm so miserable. No such thing. Now, what's going on here? I have nothing, yet I feel well, I feel good. How do you feel today, this morning? I propose that I said we can take a look at this collective man. I've arrived at the age, I need a different glass. Not that I'm vain, I don't want to use bifocals. That one I put away was a bifocal. Except this distance is the computer distance. That bifocal doesn't work, I need a different bifocal. That's also bifocal, so I can see what I wrote. Don't laugh. If you're lucky to get to be my age, you'll see what I'm talking about here. Well, on a day like this, for a Chinese, what do you say to other? You say, Gong Hei Fa Cai, right? Some of you understand that. I wish you have lots of money, basically. What's the next word? Lai Si Dou Lei. What's that? Where's my share? Let me have my share. We live. This collective man is not a very spiritual man. This collective man is very, very material. We spoke of, just heard about Super Bowl. You know, we all knew that the last year in the Super Bowl, a 30-second commercial will cost $2 million, right? Over $2 million. They spent $2 million just for 30 seconds? Why? Because they want to make sure you are going to buy the stuff they said you need, you want, you have to have it. So they want to reach a lot of people. There's a lot of commercials. In fact, if you take whatever magazines, if you take throw out all the commercials, you rip them out, the magazines are much thinner. The same way with papers. Everywhere we see advertisements, buy, buy, buy. If you don't have anything, you are nothing. That's the message that the world has given us. The ultimate concern of a college student a few years ago, as interviewed by Newsweek, their number one priority in life is make money. Very, very practical. That's the world that we live in. We need money. Even people who are religious, religion is also a way of getting to be rich and well. But you need money to buy stuff. All this ad that you see creates such a very intense want in our hearts. And so, but we don't have that much money, so what do? We borrow. You know, what's the consumer debt now, as put out by the government in October 2003, $1.98 trillion. That doesn't include mortgage. This is consumer debt. $1.98 trillion. Now, this is a number, it's an astronomical number. This is a very large number. It's very hard to comprehend how big the number is. If you sort of try to put the dollar bills, this $1.98 billion, you stack them well. You push them down, you stack them. You know how high the stack will be? This stack will reach the moon and stack reach back to Earth. That's $1.9 trillion. But that's still small, because if you consider if you added the mortgage and stuff, that consumer debt is about $9.3 trillion. We need stuff. We think we need so much stuff, and this debt figure pretty much tells us the situation we're in. Will Rogers said it well. He said many years ago, is that people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need, to impress people they don't like. Very much that's a description of this society that we're in. People who have billions are still not satisfied. Now you see Martha Stewart on the TV a lot. She has, I looked her up, $1.2 billion. $1.2 billion. She is trying to make some money that's only counted in tens of thousands, right? I mean, I don't know. You will never be satisfied, no matter how much money you have. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never have money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Correct. That's why we have so much financial scandals in this world. What's of the world that we're in? I think Madonna said it the best, because the boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr. Right. Because we are living in the material world and I am a material girl. Not me, but... It's talking about this collective man I spoke of. It's not good enough just for a cell to be healthy. The body has to be healthy in order for the cell to be healthy. Remember the soup per bowl next week. Well, what else can we say about this world, this collective man? Another insight that the scripture provides is that this man, this world that we live in, is under the control of the evil one. We read in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Very plain. The whole world, with a Chinese translation, lies under the evil one. You know, when Jesus Christ was tempted in the desert, the devil took him up to a high mountain, according to Matthew, and showed him the glory of all the nations. And the devil said to Jesus, if you would bow down and worship me, all this I'll give it to you. I don't think he's boasting. All this, the glory of all the nations, the riches of all the nations, the devil said, if you worship me, I will give it all to you. The world lies under the control or the influence of the evil one. They are in the United States in some way representing the best of the humanity. It's the richest, it's the perhaps the highest educated, it's the most enlightened one, if you wish. It's a society that many societies try to emulate. There are 2 million violent crimes a year, 1 million felony, 20% of households were targets of property crimes, even children killed. There are 1.5 million arrests for drugs. 200,000 of them are youths, are juveniles. We need drugs to get up. At first, we need drugs to calm down the downers. We need drugs to go to sleep. We need drugs to find out what we are doing. Anyway, and somehow we are in, I mean, this part reflects that this is not that it's not that men think that this is good, so we do it. We are under the influence or control of the evil one. If you count the people on probation, there are 6 million people at this moment who are in jail. Those are the unlucky ones that get caught. There are people who rob people with property. My brother, who is he is about a year or so younger than I am, the brother that you haven't seen, not the brother that's here in this church, the other brother. My other brother is a smart guy. When he worked at the Bell Labs, he sometimes go to New York, and he told me, when he went to New York, he asked me to do the same. He said, you should always bring 2 wallets. One wallet is your real wallet, that should be thin and well hidden. The other wallet is a fat wallet that has $5 in it and some dated credit cards and some junk in it. And if you are ever being robbed, usually that's more prominent one, you just give that to the robber, because he will look at it. If there's no money in it, you're in big trouble. There has to be stuff. Money, credit cards, and you may get out. Okay. People rob people of properties. You know, this world, people even rob people in terms of, how do I say this? The Chinese say, "Chang Ren." This is that you sell people, you get people and sell them as slaves. there are more slaves now, perhaps, than ever there were slaves. The 27 million slaves, according to United Nations. There's 1 million child slaves. That's the world they're in. That's the world under the influence of the evil one. Light has come into the world, but man loved darkness instead of light because the deeds are evil. Because, as stated in the 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. We are being blinded. We cannot see clearly. We're in darkness. How do we know we're in darkness? Several years ago, actually it's about 10 or so years ago, I turned on the TV, I saw something that really impressed me. That was during a Lakers game, just before a Lakers game. At that time, they retired the shirt of number 32. You know who that was? Whose that was? Magic Johnson's. Magic Johnson, because of his AIDS, he didn't get the AIDS through injections. He got his AIDS the old-fashioned way. This person, people will no longer want to play ball with him because it's dangerous. You may hit, and there may be blood, you may get this AIDS, so that, you can't play anymore. So they retired this person. I thought Chibi must be in shame. No! They retired this jersey number with standing ovation 8 minutes. 8 minutes. Standing, continuous, proud ovation. That's our hero. Because we're in darkness. We are under the control of the evil one. Clinton, when all of the scandal came out, he was re-elected with more popular vote than the first time he was elected. Now, the gay marriage thing is enraged. People say, oh, this is so bad. And there's only, I think, a few states. And there was a politicians, the judges are bad. There was an internet survey, some of you may know. There's over 1 million survey with valid email address. So they asked, do you agree with gay marriage? You know what's the response? 60% of the response says, yes, we agree. 32% said no. The rest, 8%, says we don't know. People think, when I spoke of this, you might say, who are you to tell us what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong? Man's problem is at the, according to the scriptures, is at the tree that differentiates good and evil, right? You shall know good and evil. Good and evil is something. That's something when God created the whole world and man was built into the system, built into us. Man says, no, we're going to decide for ourselves. What is good and what's evil? I think Plato, he's an old man, very, very old. He said the best. What did he say? He said, we love a thing not because it's good. You think, wow, we loved it. Oh, this is so lovely. It's good, so you love it. No, Plato said, this is 2,000 and roughly 2,500 years ago. Plato said, we love a thing not because it is good. It is good because we love it. That's the definition of what's good and evil. If we like it, we love it, it's good. It's good. So what's the worst? Pain's the worst, right? If you're pain, it must be bad. So I'm sure you all know this jingle, pain is such a waste of time. 10 is beautiful. 10 minutes. Take Tylenol extra strength. Guarantee the pain is gone. We have more emphasis on feeling good than being good. Again, there's a survey that's done, a report that's done a few years ago. It's so interesting. They asked about high school students, how good are you at math? And they asked this question to about 19 countries, and 16 or 19 countries. And the United States high school students felt that they knew most math. And we are number one. They're the best. When the real test score came out, they are the second from the bottom. Feeling good is one thing. The reality is a different thing. When one is loose contact with reality, good and bad, moral and immoral, these are realities. Evil and good, they are not something that the line you can draw anywhere you like. There is absolute. Today is not the time for me to talk about it. I just report to you that the world that we live in, the collective man, its health, the state of that man, we know that man has a problem. Not because we don't know what is right and what is good. Augustine said in his Confessions, he relayed a story that I can relate very, very well. He said when he was a kid, he went out and steal pears from other people's orchard. And then he went home and he pondered on this. Why did I steal the pear of other people? He said, not because those pears are better than the pears that we have in our own orchard. He has pear trees in his house. And that tree is the pear tree he has. Yield much better pear. Sweeter, better looking, everything's better. He said, I wasn't hungry. And the pear doesn't look but anything better than what I had. But I still, with his friends, feel that it's so much fun. It's so cool to, he didn't use that word, to steal other people's pear. There's something inside of him that drives him. He knew of Swan. We all have that experience. We all have that experience. In the 90s, the student loan, I mean, loans to the students in the college. So when they finish their college, they are learned men, college graduates. Those are the people who took student loans. The student loans are the default rate. So we're not going to give you money back anymore. Bad luck. Sue me. Okay. That sort of people. 22.4%. Student loans defaulted. Can you believe that? You think the students didn't know it was wrong? Of course they do. And according to one report, which I was not able to confirm, but I sort of believe it, the law students was the worst. Not because they don't know. Same way in our lives. What's this New Year's resolution thing I spoke of in the beginning? What's that little book that I spoke about? We have inspiration in our hearts. We want to be better. This is a new year. We want to be, a new person in this new year. The old has passed. The new has come. This is the new year. I'm going to be different. A year later, well, this is the new year. You know, pretty soon we run out of new years. And that sort of is the last problem that we know that this collective man is, this world, this man, is going to pass away. Despite all the problems we have, it will pass away. We do have a lot of problems. We do have a lot of problems. You think, just to think about the thing that we live in, this, you know, in the United States, when I read about things, if you read things very carefully, they're so interesting. Conflicts and wars are different. Armed conflicts and wars are different. War, you must have thousands of people and so many people died and so forth. It's war. Otherwise, it's just an armed conflict. Otherwise, it's just a conflict and so forth. That's according to some UN definitions. Wars, that's really big armed conflicts. People die in there. There are 40 wars going on at this moment. At this moment, most of the wars are civil wars. Same, similar people killing, fighting with their brothers. Terrorism, there's 37, we only hear about Al-Qaeda, or perhaps Abu Nidal. There's 37 terrorist groups, 12 million refugees. In the world that we think that we have made a lot of progress in our industry and all that, 840 million people live in hunger today. I was going to show you some picture of the hunger, but that's too gross. Even in the United States, there are 35 million people who live in hunger. Yet our biggest problem is overweight. Is it not? Something, as I said earlier, over and over again, is very, very wrong with this collective man. And this man is under judgment. The scripture tells us that the whole world was held accountable before God or to God. In the second Peter, it says something which addressed the issue that I'm going to tell you about. Sometimes the judgment of God, ha! Huh. If there's a God, let him strike me dead here and now. See? I'm alive. There's no God. I prove it. Scientific. By experience, by experiment. Not only that I can prove it, you can do it too. It's general. Well, maybe God doesn't play that game. Maybe because the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as in 2 Peter, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Not wanting anyone to perish. I spoke of this collective man. It seems to indicate to us, to me, that this collective man is on the course that's perishing. You say, oh, yeah, you are a very, pessimist. No, I'm not. If you ask people that are really smart, like Steve Hawking, some people say he's the smartest person alive. What will he say about humanity? He said the only hope of survival of human is to immigrate to the stars, to space. Because our ability to kill each other gets so good these days, better and better. And it's only a matter of short matter of time, according to him, that we will wipe us out in order to survive. Let's find a way to get people off to other star systems so that if we kill people here, there's some man, human, still survive the Holocaust. I didn't say this. That's not a... So Hawking's idea is not something far out. Well, Bush said we should build the moon, build stations on the moon and go to Mars and so forth. I'm not sure whether he understands what the space immigration is all about. It's about survival. To kill us here, I mean, the science is really exponentially increasing, taking off. We're so good in doing that. Okay? The more that we understand about nature, the better we're at it. It's just a matter of time. Well, he said, we don't know about that, but ourselves, we certainly do. We'll die. We'll perish. Right? And what is the good for that little book that says, well, this new year I'm going to be better. How much better can you be? Now I'm in the States. This year is the 40th year I'm here. I've finished 40th year. So this is a long time. 40 years is a whole generation. Some morning, I woke up. That's some time ago. I look in the mirror. I see somebody in there. I don't recognize. Who's that? You, I'm sure, it's different. You look at it and say, hey. I don't even recognize what that person is in there. The day you eat the fruit of the tree, God said, this fruit of the tree of good and evil you shall not eat. The day you eat it, you shall surely die. Man ate it. He didn't obey God's command. Ate the fruit of the tree. He didn't die, did he? The death will come 800 some years later. But he did die, you know. What is death? Death is separation from life. If you cut a flower down, it's dead. It's just not quite completely dead yet. It's death. When man is separated from God, death comes. So separation, death means separation, you know? When somebody's died, you're separated from him. Right? You can no longer communicate. He cannot communicate with you. You cannot communicate with him. Death is separation. Death is separation. And if you are a scientist like me, and if you say, well, I know where this problem all come from, the whole decaying of the whole universe is to relate to the second law of thermodynamics. It's the entropy that's increasing. Entropy, that's the measure of disorder, and the amount of usable energy that's decreasing, the disorder increasing, and that's the law of the second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy. That's driving the whole world, and the whole world is going in that direction, and there's no return, so we know there's no hope in the long term. You know, if you're a really good scientist, you know that this law of maximum entropy applies only in an isolated system. If you take a system, you have no communication with outside, then you measure the entropy inside, the entropy can only increase. Cannot decrease, disorder always increase. However, if you have some way of putting pipe in energy to that system, the entropy doesn't have to increase. So water, which is a disorder, so it can become ice. That's an ordered system, as long as you can take energy in and out of the system. Hook up with a refrigerator, and the thing turns into ice, energy. Isolation, death. When man is isolated from God, death comes. When the world is isolated with its maker, entropy increases, and death ensues. So what's this hope that we may have? Every year at this time, I experience hope and despair. Now, what is the hope that we have? It seems that there's a very little hope that I can give you. Yes, there is hope. What sort of hope? Transplant. You know, transplantation. What does that mean? To have life is to be reconnected to God, to the source of life. How can we be reconciled with God? We can't. We're separated from Him. That's what the good news is about. That Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to this world. Whosoever receives Him, that is to say, believing Him, will be called the sons and daughters, the children of God. And God loves the world. This is the world, this collective man I spoke of. God loves the world, and He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This reconnecting to the source of life is really the hope that we can have. This is not in some ways saying, well, I'm trying to improve on myself, trying to improve on myself. That individually we all have tried. We know that this doesn't really work. The whole society, even though it has a sign of getting better and better, richer and richer, but at the core, it's really getting worse and worse. I'm not a pessimist. I'll say that again. I have come to the United States. When I first came, I said there are many things I don't have. Another thing I don't have, I didn't tell you. I don't have keys. There's no need for keys to the apartment. Because in the 5 years that I was there, I saw only once there's a big news in this Ithaca Journal. It's 8-column news. Some house was robbed. This is something that just doesn't happen in those days. Now can you go out without keys? People in Ithaca, they probably have 3 keys just get into his room. One for the downstairs room, the door, one for the apartment door, one for his own door. There's something wrong in the society. It's not that we don't have solutions. There are solutions. The solution is that a drastic one, that we return to our Maker, to believe in the life, and to believe in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The words here are very dynamic words. New is a new of a kind, something that's never existed before, a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, not a makeover. a new creation, not some face that's been stretched to look good, a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. I look in the mirror, I still sometimes get depressed, but according to Paul, and that's also my own encouragement, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. As a scientist, this is one of the most striking descriptions of the nature of things. Everything gets older day by day. That has something to do with the direction of time. Everything gets older. Everything. Yet here it says, we are yet inwardly, the inner man, we are being renewed day by day. The Chinese translation said, we become newer day by day. The inner man becomes newer day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want, by closing, to bring you that hope which is in my heart. Every time after I read that, I say, well, this year is going to be better. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I can still go on with a lot of hope and with a lot of energy because Christ in you, the scripture says, the hope of glory. We do have that hope. A hope of glory. If death is separation, then to be with God, meaning there's never separation. So Paul says, who can separate us from the love of God? Remember that verse in Romans 8? You remember Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will be with me. Never be separated. That's why Christ said, if you believe in me, if you live, I don't know in the English translation too well, I'll just paraphrase it. If you are alive and you believe me, and you will never die. What does it mean you'll never die? You'll never be separated from him, from life. So, after all, I think getting old is beautiful, don't you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminding of the seasons. As every year come around this time of the year, we're reminded of your goodness, reminded of renewal, and reminded for the fact that we need also to look into our lives and to be renewed. Thank you, Lord, that we can be renewed in you. Anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. We thank you for that grace. I pray that each one of us know you personally, are connected to you. Our life is connected to the source of all life, that our eyes is fixed on the true light. Father, we pray that you will bless each one of us in the year that has come and guide our steps and minds so that we may live a life that's pleasing to you and useful for everyone. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.